Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 517 of our three-year journey through the Word of God. We come to 2 Kings chapter 24. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've been teaching us in our journey through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. We pray that you would teach us today as we look at this sobering chapter. Would you be our teacher and our Lord to lead us in truth and in righteousness by your Spirit? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to start at the end of 23 just for some context. 2 Kings 23, verse 36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebida, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Ammonites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by his servants the prophets. Surely this came upon Judah at the command of the Lord to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood that he had shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the deeds of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come again out of his land. For the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, gave himself up to the king of Babylon, himself and his mother and his servant and his officials and his palace officials. The king of Babylon took him prisoner in the 8th year of his reign and carried off all the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, as the Lord had foretold. He carried away all Jerusalem, and all the officials, and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officials, and the chief men of the land he took into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon all the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen and the metal workers, 1,000, all of them strong and fit for war. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, it came to the point in Jerusalem and Judah that he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So we've come right up to the brink. You know, we're not completely at the end here, of the end of the end, but basically, it's at the end. I mean, we got to the end of chapter 24, and we have this very definitive statement, for because of the anger of the Lord, it came to the point where he, in Jerusalem and Judah, that he cast them out of his presence. And so, it's just a matter of time before we come to the very end. And so, there's much for us to learn here. There's much for us to see. Tomorrow we're actually going to remain in 2 Kings for three chapters in a row, because the next chapter is the last chapter of 2 Kings. But this is essentially the end of any sort of independent functioning Judah as they come completely under the domination of Babylon. Now, if you were listening yesterday and you tune in again today, you think, okay, what happened? Because all of a sudden it goes from Pharaoh to then, boom, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Well, that's really what happened in history. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, rose up like a fire, and he swept over so fast. The only person in world history who had like a faster reign and a faster spread was Alexander the Great, who comes along later in the Greek Empire. But Nebuchadnezzar is clearly a dominant force who very quickly, he overthrows the Assyrians, and then he spreads out very quickly. And within a short period of time, he takes control of everything that the Egyptians had control of, from basically the Sinai Peninsula, the Brook of Egypt, all the way up to the River Euphrates. There's no more Egyptian influence outside of the borders of Egypt after a very short period of time, and then even Egypt itself is going to come under domination by Nebuchadnezzar. And why does all this happen? Well, it's very clear here in 2 Kings why all this happens. It happens as a judgment from the Lord. Because of years and years of idolatry and unfaithfulness, the innocent blood that had been shed, the children who had been sacrificed on the incandescent arms of Molech under the supervision of kings, the male cult prostitutes who were in the very temple of God. There was just thing after thing that was hatred and vile and evil that the Lord warned against, that the prophets condemned, and that the kings and the people under their leadership continued to practice in generation after generation. So this is a sobering warning to us that even though God is good and gracious, and even though he's made covenant promises to his people, still sin has disastrous consequences. And grievous sin has grievous consequences. And we've seen this. You can say, well, this is an Old Testament thing, but even in Christ, even in the fulfilled age of the New Covenant church, we have seen this where the church has been unfaithful to Christ, has been worldly, has given into worldly politics. I mean, one of the sobering things is that prior to the 20th century, with the rise of the atheistic religion of communism, prior to the 20th century, the majority of Christian martyrs throughout church history had been killed by other professing Christians. So innocent blood being shed is something that has definitely happened throughout church history, as people have confused the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of the world, and the righteous administration of the kingdom of God by the means of grace with the worldly ways of gaining political power through the sword, and those things got mixed up and it all became ugly, and you had Christians burning other Christians at the stake for heresy and persecuting the gospel in the name of Christ. So sin has grievous consequences. And in our own lives, in our own churches, in our own communities, we need to see this. We need to say that if we willfully rebel against the Lord and embrace patterns of sin unrepentantly, this will have consequences. God may still save us by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but we can suffer disastrous consequences. And this is a sobering truth. And it is something that needs to cause us to repent of our self-reliance, repent of our worldliness, repent of our compromise and conformity, and realize that we need, as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ within the body of Christ, we need to be faithful to King Jesus and to his covenant, because worldliness, idolatry, compromise, sin carries consequences. And that's it. I'm going to keep it really short and simple today. That is the message for us. King Jesus reigns. He has fulfilled the law for us. He has purchased salvation for us. We have everything we need for life and eternity in him. He is calling us and holding us and saving us and keeping us. We need to respond to that with love and devotion and reject idolatry and worldliness, because this is the consequence that comes even to God's people, even to those under covenant protection by God. This consequence comes when worldliness wins the day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, and thank you for your covenant promises that are all yes in Christ. Thank you that he has accomplished salvation for us, that we are his and he is ours forevermore. Help us not to be complacent because of that, but to be joyfully and eagerly zealous for the glory of your name among your church, and for the loyalty of your people to your kingdom and your cause. And let it begin in our own hearts and our own homes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for 2 Kings 24. Tomorrow we're going to be wrapping up the book of 2 Kings with chapter 25. Hope you can join me for that. As always, I do hope you have a very blessed day in the Lord.